Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Ed, we're going to start off with Bitcoin. It seems to be a sector that continues to creep into all of my interviews because of the volatility and, quite frankly, maybe that blow-off top we just had. But even today, Bitcoin is noteworthy because it's down almost 20%, over $7,000 down today. But you know what? Bitcoin is still above $31,000, but it just goes to show how much volatility we are seeing in this cryptocurrency. It is crazy to see the volatility, and also considering the huge run-up that it had here. I guess you can make the argument that this pullback is due, but then the question is Bitcoin just going to take off from whatever level it decides to bottom at? Ed, how are you trying to make sense of the continued volatility, but the pullback today in Bitcoin?
Well, I think that this volatility is something that I can recall seeing over the past several years. I've been covering Bitcoin since 2014, and I've actually seen, you know, part of that, you know, meteoric rise to almost 20,000, and then the crash. And it's fascinating to see exactly, you know, how things have unfolded. I think that there was no doubt in anyone's mind that we were going to see eventually some extreme sell-off days, just like we are today. And what's driving this, I think, you know, you have to take a look at the amount of froth in this market. You know, Bitcoin rallied, it doubled in over the past month. I think that is, you know, something that the, you know, whatever you want to call it, the macro argument, the technical buying, the fresh round of institutional money that kept pouring in, you know, and this move was overextended and by many times. And I think what we saw was that there was always a need for a catalyst to see exactly, you know, when this move was going to have a significant pullback. And right now, I think, you know, yes, the dollar is a little bit stronger today. Yes, there's been a little bit of a move out of risky assets. And I think that really is what kind of spearheaded this dramatic move into bear market territory. I think, you know, whenever you see an asset class, you know, have a 20% drop, you know, it draws attention. And I think you have to remember, though, that Bitcoin is no stranger to these excessive moves. You know, this is earlier in the last week, we saw price was under tremendous pressure. You know, Bitcoin almost dropped 20% earlier last week, and that was from that drop from 35,000 to the high mid 20s. So I think what you're seeing now is investors in this move down. This has got to be the hedge fund money. This has got to be the institutional money. You know, they got in when Bitcoin was around 15,000 to 20,000. So this was the perfect opportunity to lock in profit, but by no means does this change the longer term outlook for many of these investors. And I think you're going to see that volatility is going to remain elevated. You're going to probably see that. I think over the next couple of days, there's going to be countless of Bitcoin bulls that are just going to reiterate their, you know, frothy forecast, 50, 100, plus whatever $1,000, and this type of wild trading is going to remain the case. And I think that's what happens when you have the hedge funds, you know, heavily sink their teeth into something. I think, you know, they don't care if it goes up or down, they just want volatility. And because of the finite supply, you know, what really helped drive Bitcoin higher was that liquidity crunch. You know, there's only a certain amount of Bitcoins out there, the demand was excessive, and you're probably going to see that there's still going to be, I think, that fundamental belief that, you know, the dollar is going to weaken this year. I think right now that trade was overcrowded. You know, bearish bets were near a decade high at the end of the year. And I think you're going to probably see that the argument for cryptos is still strong. And that's kind of where we are right now. But volatility, it's not going away anytime soon.
So, Ed, when we see these kind of crazy swings, obviously it can scare people away from a market, But on a day like today, when you see a market drop 20%, there are some key levels, right? This 20% fall that would say that it's in bear market territory, but when it happens all that quickly, how does it impact technical trading in Bitcoin? Or do you think that all the technicians that were trading Bitcoin, it's kind of gotten out of hand in terms of the move higher, that technical trading right now around Bitcoin doesn't really matter?
I think that right now, and a lot of these high frequency trading systems, what they all do is they'll have their programs, they'll look for certain patterns. And I think with Bitcoin, what we saw was there was just a confluence of just tremendous amount of resistance around that 41,500 area. And what you're probably going to see is that as these big money managers start to implement their trading systems, you know, it's going to throw a technical analysis out the window. You're probably going to see everyone focused on these around psychological levels. So 30,000, 25,000, those are going to be the ones that people are going to primarily focus on this move down. But in the end, I think you're probably going to see that if we do see prices have a significant drop even from here, you know, 25,000 is kind of that line in the sand. I think that's when you saw a lot of the people that were late to the crypto game, you know, that's when they got in. If that does not hold, you know, I think you're probably going to see, you know, that off peak time when you have illiquid conditions, you know, it could be on a Friday night when, you know, when Wall Street's closed, but you know, the crypto markets, it's always trading. That's when you might see some of those big moves. And so I think, you know, you have to be extremely cautious with Bitcoin right now. And I think right now you're seeing many people just kind of throw their arms up in the air, just, you know, not knowing exactly, you know, well, how far can this go? If the dollar rally continues, does that mean Bitcoin will continue to weaken? I think that eventually Bitcoin is going to just start to trade on its own fundamentals and momentum move. So I think right now you're probably going to see that 30,000 level be very major support here. And if it does overshoot it, you know, it might only do it by a couple thousand.
Yeah, I think it's noteworthy to note, too, that this move down today is happening during U.S. market hours, too. So that leads me to believe that it probably is some more bigger money institutions in the U.S. that are causing this, because sometimes those wild moves that we see, say, over Christmas when markets are closed, that can be some other traders because of generally lower volume. Let's talk about the dollar, because the dollar is a little above 90 on the dollar index. It's bouncing back from arguably some breakdown levels that we saw to start this year when it dropped and tested out that 89 level. But this still could be very much just a dead cat bounce in a larger bear market for the dollar. Is that how you're viewing the dollar right now?
I think so. I think right now, when we look at the dollar, you have to see exactly how was the market positioned at the start of the year. And bearish bets were near a decade high. And I think right now you're going to see these short positions covered. The rise in treasury yields really kind of sparked this move. I think that we're the 10-year. I can't believe it's, you know, over 112. It seemed like the debate, you know, will it crack 1% was, you know, well, possibly after election inauguration day. And you know, we're well beyond that. And I think what we're seeing is the dollar rebound is likely to remain in place until we really start to see, I think, these yields, this rally just start to lose momentum. And the belief is that, you know, the Fed is going to step in at one point. The overall view on Wall Street is that if the 10-year hits 120 to 130, it's, you know, people are, you know, that's kind of the reason where, you know, that the Fed is going to really become vocal as far as saying like, okay, this is not this is going to disrupt the economic recovery. So I think that, you know, the dollar is still poised to weaken. But in effect, you know, you have these exaggerated moves. You have when short covering happens, watch out. I mean, the whole world was basically betting against the dollar, and that was a consensus trade. It was not just for institutional, but retail. And what you're going to probably see is that, you know, those leveraged traders are going to get squeezed out here. And eventually the dollar will weaken. But right now, you know, there could be some legs behind this move.
Yeah, you are right about just how bearish everybody was on the dollar. And it's not saying that a lot of people, vast majority, are still not or are still bearish. But I think the dollar did need some sort of a little rebound. And in all fairness, the dollar needs to recover quite a bit just to get out of this pretty bearish downtrend that it's in. When that comes to commodities, though, let's look at something like oil. Oil is just going to the beat of its own drum. Had some good news last week when it came to production cuts, and we're seeing crude over $50 a barrel right now. Is this price sustainable, taking into context the fact of the matter that we still don't have this virus under control? It's not like everybody is out traveling again, but I guess the optimism is still there that people will be out traveling soon enough. And with some of those production cuts, maybe the environment generally is better for oil.
I think that the longer term outlook is still extremely bullish for oil prices. Right now in the short term, though, we're getting cross currents. I think there's just rising concerns that if the dollar continues to rally, that's going to disrupt the move in commodities. I think you're also seeing that the virus is there's too much uncertainty as far as what's happening across Asia, specifically in China. You're starting to see that the playbook for oil was, you know, the demand outlook was looking a lot better, and everyone was taking their cues from China. China has steadily saw demand really recover pretty much all of its, you know, pandemic, you know, levels. And right now, you know, China's starting to have shutdowns. You know, you see 11 million people shut down here. There's formations of other clusters that are likely to lead to more restrictive measures. So I think that in the short term, you know, that's eventually going to weigh on the outlook. So, you know, regardless of what the Saudis do, if China is going to have, you know, greater lockdowns in place, and you look at the current situation in the U.S., California is out of control. That's 15% of U.S. GDP. And, you know, you're starting to see that, you know, we may be getting beyond the peak of the virus, but I think that the Biden administration is going to, you know, exercise caution over everything. And with these mutant strains, that elevated risk is going to likely mean there's going to be pressure for extended lockdowns and restrictive measures. And the demand outlook, you know, has already priced a lot of that in. But if things just last a little bit longer and the vaccine rollouts don't have that immediate, I guess, optimism that Biden is going to, you know, fix the problems that are in place, you know, we could start to see there be a little bit more further drag on oil prices. But I think no one is doubting that, you know, once we're on the other side of COVID, you know, Brent is going to be trading the mid 60s and WTI just, you know, testing that $60 level. And there's a real, you know, I think optimism that is likely to happen towards the end of the year. So whatever sell-offs you see, I think, you know, that's going to provide a buying opportunity. So oil, yeah, it could definitely drift a lot lower, but I think, you know, if people are going to be eyeing those dips. And no, I think overall the outlook is still pretty bullish for the end of the year for oil.
So Ed, if we take a step back then and try to isolate the noise from some news or data that does actually matter in a longer term sense for these markets, where do you think we stand? Because on the political front, we have impeachment proceedings going on. I don't see that being a big impact to the markets. We also have that blue wave that just happened, and that could, or the Democrats could then go after big tech, which has been supporting a lot of these markets. Not so much recently, but early on last year it was. Then we also have all this virus news, not just out of North America, or the U.S. that is really struggling still with the virus, but even China recently has locked down a few million citizens because of the reemergence of the virus. And they were really the beacon of hope that a lot of people were saying, look at China's recovery. We can all do that. What matters in your eyes for these markets as we progress through the next, let's say, couple months?
I think what's going to be key is how quickly the Biden administration is going to be able to deliver infrastructure spending. I think right now the concern is that, you know, there's a lot that needs to be done. And I think a lot of this rally that we've seen in equities, you know, has been based upon that blue wave. You know, at the end of last week, we saw stocks, you know, get extremely nervous when the West Virginia Democratic senator kind of was misquoted. At least that's what his office said, as far as saying absolutely no to the $2,000 stimulus checks. I think that there's going to be some resistance from a couple of conservative Democrats that are really going to complicate the deficit and deficit spending, and also the amount of stimulus that the Biden administration is going to try to push forward in those first 100 days. So I think, you know, the $2,000 checks are going to happen. I think that you're going to see, though, the next big steps are what the market is a little bit unsure of. And if we see talks dragged out, I think that, you know, the markets are going to be looking at Congress. Well, what's Congress going to be focused on? And right now, the developments from last week, I think there's going to be some attention drawn. And if let's say the Senate has to wait until after an inauguration day to impeach the president or go through those proceedings, that's going to take away time from what Congress should be focusing on for doing for the economy. I think big tech is now, they got the spotlight on them too. I think, you know, regulatory concerns, that was supposed to take the back burner. And I think right now what you're going to see is, you know, these banning of the president and some of these other decisions to shut down, like Parler, for instance, that is really going to weigh on the, I think, optimism that we've had the FANG stocks have for much of the past 9-10 months. So what we're going to see is, you know, stocks are going to still be supported by stimulus and by the Fed, but in order for stocks to really kind of get their mojo back and to target, you know, those 10-20%, you know, year-end gains that much of Wall Street has, the burden has to be eased off of big tech. And right now, I think these regulatory concerns are going to be a big thorn as far as people relentlessly buying, you know, the Apples, the Amazons, and Facebooks, and that's I think what you're going to see. People are going to, you know, possibly diverse away from. And if small caps continue to shine, you know, stocks can definitely climb higher, but you need big tech for a significant move higher here. So I think the markets are going to be focused on how things unfold and exactly what's on Congress's agenda. And if they're able to deliver infrastructure spending and have another fiscal support package in place, as I think, you know, restrictive measures will force the government to do so. Then I think you're going to see stocks, you know, get, you know, resume that climb higher. But it could get a little messy. And I think once uncertainty persists, then you'll see stocks continue to trade sideways, or if not, slightly pull back.
Okay, Ed, thanks for the update to kick off this week. Boy, oh boy, it's going to be a busy year, clearly, just by the first week and a day of trading. But it gives us a lot to talk about. And you know what? I think there is a lot of noise out there that we do need to filter through. So, hey, I appreciate you joining us. And I also read over your note every day that I will post a link to for everyone to catch up on the Oanda website. Ed, thanks for your time today. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.